All right, let's come to God's word this morning. In a couple of weeks, we're going to be taking a special gift day offering. And the word over the last week, this week, and next week is to prepare our hearts so that we can give for that gift day offering. You see, the Bible says anything we do without faith is sin. So even you can do a good thing like giving, but if there's no faith involved, it's of no use. So how does faith come? Faith comes when we hear the word of God. It comes to our hearts. We receive that word. We apply faith and act on it. And that's when there is blessing involved. So last week, the title of the message was Beautiful Giving. This is part two of it. And I just want to remind us a few things about what we discussed last week. One was that Jesus spoke more about money than anyone else in the Bible. You know, Jesus came down from heaven and he spoke more about money and possessions than anybody else. He spoke more about money than any other subject. That's interesting. There are 2,350 verses in the Bible on money and possessions and giving. And that's more than the amount of verses on prayer and faith combined. Isn't that amazing? Jesus spoke more about money than he spoke about the church. What does that tell you? How did Jesus, you know, he spoke more about money than about heaven and hell. Incredible. So, they've done statistics and say 15% of Jesus' recorded words were on money and possessions and giving. So what's so important about money? What is it that he knows that we don't? I'll tell you what it is. This is what it is. How we handle money is a barometer of our spiritual life. I'll say that again. How we handle money is a barometer of our spiritual life. Anybody been sick? Anytime? Yeah, you know, what do? You take a thermometer, stick it in your mouth, and take the temperature. And that tells you, you know, the temperature is high, above 98.3. If it's 99, 100, 101, you know there's something wrong. And if it's very high, you need to quickly rush to the doctor. So just as a thermometer is an indicator of our health, how we handle money and possessions is an indicator of our spiritual health. Jesus said this. He says, you know, how do we know the condition of our spiritual life, of our heart, which nobody can see? In Matthew chapter 6, 21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what Jesus is saying is, you know, we can say, praise the Lord, we can lift our hands, we can do all these things, but Jesus said the true test of if your heart is in the kingdom or somewhere else is not to see where your hands are, but to see where your wallet is. That's what Jesus says. Okay, he says, if you want to find out where your heart is, you follow the money trail. And that's what it is. Conversely, if you want your heart to be in the right place, how do we get our heart to be in the church, in the kingdom of God? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. So to get our heart into something, we put our treasure there, we put our money there, and our heart follows. Now, in Luke chapter 19, we have the story of Zacchaeus. You remember Zacchaeus? Yeah, was he a tall man? Was he a short man? Okay, we assume he was a short man because simple reason is he had to climb a tree to see Jesus. So possibly there were huge crowds, and Zacchaeus says, well, if I just stand, you know how when we take these selfies and we tell people, I think you better come in front or we won't be able to see you. Yeah, so that was the same thing with Zacchaeus. There was a crowd, he wanted to see Jesus. Well, he couldn't see him, so he climbed a tree. And in Luke chapter 19, it tells us about Zacchaeus. Now, Zacchaeus was not an ordinary person. Who was he? He was a tax collector. More than just a tax collector, he was the chief tax collector. Okay? And in verse 2 of 19 says that. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Now, today, if we say somebody works with the income tax, deputy commissioner of income, you know, that's a very respectable position. In Jesus' time, if you were a tax collector, you were as respectable as a prostitute. Yeah, really. Look at this. Because that's what happened. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 11, when Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, the Pharisees saw this. They asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" So tax collectors were not high. They were very low in the social ranking in Jesus' time. In Matthew 21 and 32, Jesus said to the chief priests and the elders, he's talking to the elite religious leaders, chief priests, the elders. He says, "Truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." All right? So just to tell you, why were the tax collectors despised? For the simple reason is they were Jews who were oppressing their people, taking money from their people in order to give to the Romans, and in the bargain, keeping a cut for themselves. So it was not just Romans oppressing, you know, Romans were foreigners oppressing the Jews. This was your own fellow man, okay, who was oppressing you to give money to the Romans and in the bargain, pocketing a lot of it. And it says that Zacchaeus was very, very wealthy. Now, we see in this verse here how money has to do with spirituality, okay? And so Jesus, the story tells us, the account tells us that there was a big crowd and Zacchaeus climbed a sycamore tree in verse 4 to see him since Jesus was coming that day. Way. When Jesus reached the spot, verse 5, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down and welcomed Jesus gladly. You know, all the people saw this. They began to mutter, "Jesus, a spiritual person, he's going to the house of a sinner. Terrible." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, he says, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." What did Zacchaeus speak about? What did he speak about? Money. Hey, everybody, come on. We've got to engage with the text. He says, "I give half my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times." What did he speak about? Giving. Money. He just spoke about money. Did he say anything? Did he say the Lord's Prayer? No. Nothing. He spoke about money. What did Jesus say? Verse 9. Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." What is the point? The point is this: how we handle money. When Zacchaeus' heart was touched, his attitude towards money changed. Instead of stealing from people, he says, "I'm giving my half my possession to the poor. If I've cheated people, I'll give them four times more." That's what he did. You see? So he didn't say the sinner's prayer. But because his heart was changed and his attitude to money was changed, Jesus knew that salvation had come to Zacchaeus. So to see how spiritual we are, we have to evaluate how we handle money and possessions. Okay? When there is a call to giving, when there's a call to a gift day offering like this that we're going to take, what we can do is normally we say, yeah, we'll give. And we decide to give X amount. And what can happen is we can decide on a safe amount. Turn to somebody and say, "Safe amount." You know, this is what we can give without blinking, thinking, "I can give so much." And it's different for different people. We give a safe amount. And that's good that we are giving something. It's good that we give. Last, but what we want to do is we want to align our lives in every area with God's word. Okay? We don't want to go according to the world. We want to go according to the word. And last week we saw how Mary, Martha and Lazarus' sister, gave to Jesus. She didn't give a safe amount. She didn't open her perfume jar, put her fingers in, dab a little bit and rub it on his head. Was she safe? No. She didn't give a safe amount. She took the bottle, broke the neck so it can't be closed, poured the whole thing on Jesus, on his head, on his feet. And Jesus looked at her sacrificial, generous giving. She gave a perfume worth 1 year's wages. Turn to somebody and say, 1 year's wages. Have you ever given 1 year's wages? I haven't. Have you? No. Wow, that's a lot. But that's what she did. Now, Judas looked at her and said, what a waste. Jesus looked at her and said, what worship. Big difference, isn't it? And really what man, and Jesus said, what she has done is a beautiful thing. And as we prepare to give, you've got to ask yourself, will Jesus look down on your giving and say, what a beautiful thing? That's what we're looking for, all right? Now, today we're going to look at the longest chapter in the Bible on giving. Yeah, this was just an introduction. Longest chapter, Andrew already alluded to that. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we're going to look at it brief, look at chapter 8 and 9. There's a lot, that's the longest two chapters on giving in the Bible. And my desire as we do that is to stir faith in our hearts that we can do what Mary did. Yeah, beautiful giving. Jesus says, she has done a beautiful thing. When we give next week and the week after, I want Jesus to say that, wow, what he has done, what she has done is a beautiful thing. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1, okay, the background to this is there is a need in Jerusalem. This is in Corinth, Greece, and Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he's saying, listen, guys, there's a need there. We want to collect an offering. Okay? And then he's saying, by the way, he wants to stir them like I'm stirring you. He wants to stir them up to faith in giving. And he says, by the way, I want to tell you about the Macedonians, another group of people, and how they have given. I'm telling you about them. Okay, now, what is the difference between the Corinthians and the Macedonians? The Corinthians were wealthy. They were rich. Right? The Macedonians were poor. So he's telling the rich Corinthians, he's saying, you see those poor Macedonians? I want to tell you how they have given so that you will be stirred to give generously. So let's see what he tells them. Chapter 8, verse 1. And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Okay? And the first point is this. Giving is a result of grace. If we don't understand grace, we cannot give. There are many, many rich people out there. They have pots of money. But you know something? It's so difficult for them to part with money. It's so difficult for them to give, because without understanding the grace of God, we cannot give. We just hold on to things. And so Paul says, I want you to understand, he says, we want you to know about the grace of that God has given the Macedonian churches. Okay? And this is stage zero. Stage zero is there is no grace and we just struggle to give. People struggle to give. And a lot of the world is like this. Sadly, some Christians can be like this as well. Okay? What is advertising all about? We see all these ads. Every day on my phone, I get special offers from Flipkart, Amazon. Do you get that? You know, all these things that you don't need, but they put them up there. The newspapers are full of ads, new phones, new models, new cars, new everything. What is advertising all about? TV. You know what TV is all about? It's about parting you and your money over some object. That's what it is. They have TV and then they have these ads in between. Yeah, all those programs are paid for by the advertisers. Okay, so this is what it is. So advertising is about trying to get people to part with your money. You know, ads that speak about giving to charity, there are few and far between. People are not interested in that. They are more interested in the shiny phone or the latest car or the latest dress or something like that. Now, the reason is this. You see, people don't mind spending on themselves. Right? Tell me, honestly, aren't we tempted when the latest model, next model of the phone comes out or a new outfit or a new piece of furniture. You know, we look at the features. Wow, this is 50 times faster than my phone. You know, oh, it's got a bigger screen. I can use it as a television also. The screens keep getting bigger and bigger. You know, the sound is so good. We won't need speakers in church next time. Just put a phone there. So all these new gadgets and features come, and the heart gets attracted to these things. And so people have no money, no problem spending on themselves. I know people who bought phones for 50,000, 70,000, a lakh of rupees. I know a guy once bought trousers. I think they cost 6,000 rupees. Wow, young people. Okay, but when it comes to giving, they're stuck. All right, so, but for Christians, it's different. Okay, when grace comes into our lives, when Jesus comes into our lives, our hearts change. Okay, when we truly understand the grace of God, our attitude towards God and money and giving should change. Okay, when we realize, wow, we are saved from sin, our sins are forgiven. I'm going to heaven, you know, and Jesus has done this for me by dying on the cross. He paid the price, even though we were still sinners, as Joe wonderfully brought it this morning. You know, do you realize the richest people cannot buy the salvation that you have and I have? Aren't we so blessed? One of these days, I think this weekend, the Ambanis are flying to St. Moritz in Switzerland. Do you know that? Did they invite you? No. Okay. They're flying. The wedding party is going there for a three-day bash, pre-wedding bash. This is not the wedding. And they're not taking Lufthansa or Delta. They're flying in private jets. All right? So that's what's happening. And then they're flying back again to Mumbai for the wedding celebrations. Okay? And, you know, that whole trip must be costing hundreds of crores. But if you put the wealth of all the Ambanis, the Birlas, the Tatas, Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, and everybody else, you cannot purchase salvation. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? If you are saved this morning, you have something far more precious than all the wealth of the world. Aren't we blessed? And when we realize, and what did you do to get it? Nothing. Turn to somebody and say, nothing. Nothing. Did you deserve it? No, we didn't deserve it. We didn't earn it. But we've got this great salvation, which all the wealth of the world cannot buy. And when we understand that grace, you know, we say, wow, our response should be amazing. Okay? Just for us to understand a few things that, you know, there's a saying, where there is a will, there is a way. There's another saying, where there is a will, there are relatives. Okay? So, a rich man died and all the relatives came to see what has he left him. Has he left his car to me? Has he left the gold, the jewels, his phone, the money, the bank account? You know, and so they all gather together and one guy says to another one, what has he left? So the other guy says, well, he left everything. He couldn't take it with him. That's the truth, isn't it? When we leave this earth, we cannot take anything with us. But you know what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says this amazing thing. He says, verse 19. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. Okay? Where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Jesus is not against you storing up wealth. Isn't that good news? But he wants you to store up wealth in heaven. That's the difference. You know, it's like somebody who's moving from, say, India to Canada. Or somewhere else. I don't know if you have anybody here in our midst like that. But anyway, so what happens? You've got some money. You want to take it to Canada. What do? You may not be able to take it in person. So you do a wire transfer. You transfer it there. And when you get to Canada or wherever you're going to, the money is there. The same thing with this. Our final destination is heaven. And Jesus says, okay, do not store up on earth, but send it to heaven. How do you transfer it to heaven? Go to the nearest ICICI bank or something and say, I'd like to transfer, make a transfer to heaven. I don't know what how they'll respond to that. but the way we do that is as we are generous giving, as we give to the poor, towards God's purposes, for the advancement of the kingdom, the gift day offering, other things, we are storing for ourselves something in heaven. All right, let's go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And let's look at the Macedonian, the churches. All right. Now, number one is grace is needed to give. If we don't understand the grace of God, we cannot give. Secondly, you know, you may be saying, Colin, you don't understand my situation. My financial situation is not great this year. You know, the economy has been not doing too well. Prices of petrol has gone up. The price of onions has gone up. And school fees are coming up. And, you know, I was supposed to get a raise, but instead of getting X percentage, I got just a small raise and all kinds of things. Taxes are there. And there's the GST on everything now. Colin, you don't understand. Okay, let's see what Paul said to the Corinthians. He says, he talks about the Macedonians in verse 2. He says, out, and you maybe also be saying, you don't know what I'm going through. I'm going through a difficult time. My boss is giving me a pain. He's just so, I'm overworked. There are deadlines. Or you may be saying, I've got a family issue or a health issue. Some kind of problem we are facing. See what Paul says there. He says, verse 2, out of the most severe trial. The Macedonians were not enjoying life. They were struggling. Severe trial. It could have been great persecution that they faced as Christians. Their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty. What was the state of the Macedonians? They were in extreme poverty. There are people who are middle class. There are people who are poor. There are people who are extremely poor. I don't think there is anybody here who's poor or extremely poor in our church. But so Paul is writing to rich Corinthians and saying, these people who are extremely poor, they have very little or next to nothing. But what do they have? They have the grace of God upon their hearts. They have great joy in their hearts. And that resulted in rich generosity. So they didn't give, did they give a safe amount? No. They said they give generously, and he qualifies it, rich generosity. That's how they gave. How did they give? Verse 3, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able. Okay, so it wasn't a talk. They said, this is all we can give. They gave as much as they were able. That's stage one of giving. This is what we are able to give. Okay, and then it says more than that. He says, and even beyond their ability. Wow. That's the next stage. So one is a safe amount. Next is we give how much we are able, which is more than I said, this is all I can give. And then he says they gave even beyond their ability. Now that goes beyond the head and it reaches to the heart. That's the kind of giving they gave. They stretch themselves. It must have involved sacrifice, all right? It must have involved sacrifice to give beyond their ability. It may mean saying things like, I'm not going to buy a certain thing. I'm going to put that money aside. It is sacrifice, okay? That's what it is. Now, you know, we all want God to increase our standard of living, isn't it? Isn't that the truth? We want God to increase the standard of our living. But you know what God wants to first do? He wants to increase the standard of our giving. That's what it is. He wants to do that. There is so much joy involved in giving that we don't understand it. All the words that Jesus spoke, I mean, the words that, not all the words, but the words that Jesus spoke are recorded in the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There is one set of words that Jesus spoke that are not recorded in the Gospels, but are found anywhere else, somewhere else. Do you know where that words are? Okay? Whatever Jesus spoke is in the Gospels. Okay? But there's another set of words that Jesus spoke that are not in the Gospels, that are recorded elsewhere. And that's found in Acts chapter 20, verse 35. Which says, in the words of our Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. All right? So this is giving. So the Macedonians gave beyond their ability. Jesus is saying, if you really want to be blessed, start giving. Not a safe amount, not what we are able, but beyond what we are able to give. And now look at the attitude of the Macedonian church. He says in verse 4. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in the service to the saints. Wow. The Macedonians were not there, oh no, tomorrow is the gift day. You know, I think I'll skip the meeting. Okay, they were not that way. What did they do? They said, Paul, they urgently pleaded. They said, we want to give. We want to give. I just want to say that Word of Grace has been a wonderful giving church. All right? People have given generously, sacrificially. I'm just so blessed to have a church, to be part of a church like this, to lead this church. In fact, we've had people who have spoken to me and said, you know, we normally take this offering in November. And they've said, hey, this year, what happened to the offering? You didn't take it. And they've come to me entirely unprompted and said, we want to give. And they've given. Wow, that's amazing. That's the kind of response that is there. You know, that they're saying, we want that blessing. We want to give. Okay, so we're looking at a couple of more things here from in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, back there. It says there in verse 7, but just as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in your love for us, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. Right? So what another way to look at how we are giving is say, am I excelling in what I'm doing? If somebody evaluated my giving, would they say I have excelled in that? You know, let's say you're doing a test. It's out of 100. Okay? Somebody gets 95. Have they excelled? Yeah, that's pretty good. Somebody gets 20. Have they excelled? No, we know that it is. And it's the same thing in our act of giving. Yeah. Jesus is watching. Forget about people. It's Jesus who's watching. How do we know he's watching? You remember, people were putting money into the temple treasury, all right? And what was Jesus doing? You know, when the offering comes around here, what do we do? I don't think anybody looks around to see what some... We just put our money in quickly and pass it, isn't it? I don't think anybody does this. As a neighbor is giving, say, hey, how much did you put? You know, we don't do that, all right? Jesus did that. He was standing there watching the people give. He was God, of course. And what did he do? He saw rich people coming and putting in wads of notes, lots of money, all that. And then he saw this old lady coming, poor thing. And she, poor lady, I don't know if she was old, but she just put in 2 copper coins. Now the disciples were doing their mental calculation. Wow, that man put in 10,000 rupees. That man put in 50,000 rupees. This lady put in 10 rupees. Who gave more? Jesus said, by the way, guys, and I know you're doing these calculations, but see that lady there? She gave more than all of them. So I said, the maths doesn't add up. How come? You know, she put 10 rupees, he put 10,000. How is 10 greater than 10,000? Okay, so it's not the amount that you give that's important. All right? You know, like example, somebody gives 500, somebody gives 50,000. Who gave more? We don't know. Because our giving is in proportion to what we have. All right? So he said, those people who gave the big amounts, they gave out of their abundance. They gave 50,000, but they had much more left behind. He says, so they may have given 5% of your wealth. He's saying, this lady, that's all that she had to live on. She gave 100% of her wealth. Amazing. So in our giving, yeah, the amount is immaterial in the sense of it's in proportion to how much we have. So we don't compare ourselves with one another. One person's giving of 500 may be much more than another person's giving of 50,000. Jesus will be the judge of that. Okay? And so really it's in proportion to our giving. This was another verse that was read today in Matthew chapter, in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 6. Jesus gives us the beautiful promises here. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Okay? And so really in our, the other aspect of our giving is that it is a sowing into the kingdom. We've got to see it as that, you know. If you plant bananas, what are you going to get? Bananas. If you plant watermelons, what will you get? Okay. If you plant tomatoes, what will you get? If you want to get money, what do you need to plant? Simple. Money, right? Okay, that's how it is. And I'll give you a personal example. Many years ago, when I got my first job, when I was living in Kuwait, all right? First job, all that. My mother came to me one day, and my mother is quite the social worker, interested in helping the poor and everything. And she said, you know, Colin, I want you to help me. We have a plan to build homes, small one-room homes for the poor in India. I want you to sponsor, part sponsor one home. Okay? So this is the amount that is needed. Will you give? So I said, yeah, sure, Mom, I'll give. It was a big amount. I mean, you know, first salary and all, but I gave. And this is what she said. He says, one day, God will bless you with a wonderful home of your own. All right? Now, we were living in Kuwait. For those of you who know, in Kuwait, you cannot buy property. You know that. You cannot. You can just rent a place. And I had no intention of ever coming back to India and buying something. But in the sovereignty of God, things worked out. And truly, God has blessed us with a beautiful home. All right? How it has happened, what has happened, you know, God made it possible. So God is no man's debtor. You may be thinking, I want to save up for my home, for my this, for my that. Listen, it's like we are shoveling into God's kingdom. What is God doing? He's shoveling into us. You know what's the difference? His shovel is much bigger than ours. That's the difference. And so as we give, God will give us back much more. And the last thing I want to look at giving is this. You know, what is the effect of our giving? Is that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about this here. He says, people, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12. He says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He's saying, as we give, and as that money is used to help the poor, to advance the gospel, to help churches across India and other parts of the world, okay, what's happening? He says, it's overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. He says, because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession and of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Wow. So as a result of our giving, people all over India and the world will praise God. Isn't that a great reason to give? All right? So, I, you know, one day we will meet people in heaven who are there because we have sown into the gospel. Wow. Wouldn't that be great? You know? So I want to end this morning. And where is Austin? Is he? Do we have the pledge forms? Anybody knows? They are here? No? Okay. We wanted to just show the pledge form. Can we just put up the pledge form on the thing? Okay. So next week, we're going to take the gift day offering. And what we'd like you to do is, one, you can give by check, cash, NEFT, directly into the bank account. Or you may say, I want to give, but I don't have the money right now. Liquidity. It'll come in 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month. So you can put in a pledge form. John D'Souza has filled this one in. Where's John? No, there's no John. This is an imaginary person. All right. Okay. So put your name there. Put the amount. Okay. Make sure you put your name, not somebody else's name. Very important. Okay. Amount and words and numbers. You know, 10 can make a big difference. Okay. And then payment will be made by. Put the date. So we're saying last date is 17th April. We're giving you 2 months, whatever for that. And then sign there. If you want to transfer money by check, by bank account, contact Samantha or Austin. They will give you the details. All right? Okay, we're going to end right now. So what you can do is when you're giving, we have envelopes there. We'll have them next Sunday. Just tick. This is a gift day offering. Put that in there and we will know what it is. So the promise, I want to end with a promise. And the promise is this. One is whoever sows generously will reap generously. And then there's another one that says in verse 11 of chapter 9, 10 and 11. Now that he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of food and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. God is saying, as we give, God will make you rich in every way. Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion. The reason he gives you more is so that you can plow back more into the kingdom. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Hallelujah. All right? Can we bow our eyes? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are rich. We have food, clothing, shelter, jobs, vehicles, every good and perfect gift from you. Lord, I just pray that you would stir our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit. Lord, we break every stronghold of mammon in the name of Jesus, Lord. Pray that we would be a people who would serve God and not money. Lord, I pray that your grace would be poured out abundantly upon us. That we would give, we would not just give a safe amount, not just give what we are able, but we would give beyond what we are able by the grace of God. In Jesus' name we pray, Amen.